And finally, the last Blockbuster video store in the world can now be rented as an Airbnb. Located in Bend, Oregon, the store is going full 90s with this overnight, including creating a living room within the store with decor from the decade, a gigantic era-appropriate television, a VCR, and all the store's VHS tapes to choose from to complete the mise en scene. What the hell is that? At $4 per night. I mean, how about that? Little Blockbuster video Airbnb. These days, it's good to be prepared. That includes your vehicle. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment necessary, and also curbside pickup on any order. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day. Mise en scene.
We are going to empty the rest of the Lou Holtz file here in a second, but we got to talking about it because Lou Holtz says college football should come back. He says that when we stormed Normandy, there were some casualties, so there have to be risks involved with bringing back the obviously necessary wartime and war-soaked sport of college football, according to Lou Holtz. Normandy was the reference. So we are emptying that file, and we will in a second. But before I do that, I'd like to go around the room here and just give me a guy that you looked up one day at ESPN and he was gone and you were confused and it took you months to realize. In the case of Lou Holtz, right, the sport goes away for a while. So a guy like that is going to disappear every season in some ways. But ESPN does a good job of using those people in the offseason. And so for me, Lou Holtz just vanished from one day to the other. He was the lispy voice of college football for this network for a while. Who does that for you, Mike, when you think of a guy who just vanished one day from to the next in at ESPN?
Brad Doherty. On multiple fronts, oddly enough.
That's an upset. That's right. NASCAR. Put it on the poll, Tony. Do you miss Brad Doherty? Seven-foot all-star Brad Doherty on NASCAR. How about you, Stugatz? Who does that for you?
Merrill Hodge. He's here 1 minute and gone the next. I don't know what happened. He was a star at the network.
Chris, how about you?
This guy worked with Lou Holtz a lot, Mark May.
That's right. Mark May got people so mad. Yep. People hated Mark May because he would have opinions contrary to theirs on college football. Tony, how about you?
Whatever happened to Jay Crawford? Felt like he was great on cold pizza and a bunch of different stuff and just disappeared.
I think he's calling Browns preseason games now.
Eric Mangini is pretty high on my list. Urban Meyer is another one who is in the news here yesterday. Stugatz, this is good here. This is good. Tell me you've seen this video. I love when the fourth wall, television tries to give you we've got it together so much. And it's harder to do during a pandemic. Tell me you saw this video of Urban Meyer giving very serious sound about college football. Was it to Dave Revson? Who was he doing this with?
Yeah, I do think that was Dave Revson.
Speaking of guys that were here 1 minute and gone.
Yes,
the
Dave Revson gone. The rare Ace ginger. The rare ginger who vanished on us from one day to the next.
See, I think he's more of a blonde.
Is he?
Either way, he's the face of the Big Ten Network.
Okay. So guys, did you see this video, though? Did you see the video where Urban Meyer is giving very serious talk? And then it is slowly revealed in the mirror behind him that he's clearly on a boat. And then it's slowly revealed that what is happening on that boat is just some shirtless buddy and maybe nude buddy, given that we don't know how. You couldn't see the bottom half. It's all of a sudden in the mirror, in the analysis, in the shot. And then you see Urban Meyer realizing he's on camera, try and shoo him away because he's in the camera shot, revealing to everyone that Urban Meyer during a pandemic is on a boat with a dude who might be nude.
Yeah, and it seemed as though the friend wasn't in a hurry to get out of the way and enjoyed messing with Urban Meyer, but we could only see the top half of what was going on. It was just all very unsettling to me, from the sunburn on Urban's face to what was going on in the lower third.
Put it on the poll, Tony, please.
Did and I don't mean the television screen.
Did you know that Urban Meyer was on a boat before the nude guy? Because I had not realized that he was on a boat, but of course Urban Meyer is on a boat. Let's empty the rest of that Lou Holtz file. How much is in there? I guess we teased 'Twas the Night Before Christmas with Chris Berman, Lou Holtz, and who else? This is Caliendo doing three different people.
Yeah, it's Gruden, Chris Berman, and Lou Holtz. Lou Holtz is coming up here at the end of this, but we're emptying the Lou Holtz file.
With a little old driver so lively and quick, kind of like a Drew Brees type, man. I tell you what, I knew in a moment it had to be St. Nick. More rapid than Chip Kelly's Eagles offense. I love what he's doing there. His coursers, they came and whistled and shouted and called him by name. No Dasher, no Dancer, no Prancer and Vixen. On Comet, on Cupid, on Donder and Blitzen. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. No Dashaway, Dashaway. Dash away all. Nobody circles the reindeer like the big man in red. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, wind the meat that obstacle back to the sky. And none of this makes sense. So up to the housetop, the coursers they flew with 8 sleigh full of toys and St. Nicholas too.
Again, just emptying the file here because Lou Holtz is back in the news. He was in the news because we're going to coaches for insight, and Urban Meyer's got a nude guy on his boat, and Lou Holtz is comparing college football to wars.
At least Holtz and Mike Ditka, I mean, they have stayed consistent throughout their entire lives. Holtz went to Normandy, and Ditka said, if you kneel for the national anthem, get the hell out of my country.
And again, Urban Meyer's got a dude that might be nude on his boat. We don't totally know. Let's keep emptying this Lou Holtz file.
This is another thing that happened on television, I believe, alongside of Reese Davis, and it's just labeled Lou Holtz is impossible to understand.
They will get to talk a whole lot more at halftime. I promise.
Well, I don't get a brain man cold.
Again, the voice of college football for many years here on ESPN, ladies and gentlemen. Lou Holtz making more sense when he's comparing college football to Normandy.
Well, I don't get a brain man cold.
And finally, the final thing in our folder. Did you know that Lou Holtz was a number one seed in our Looks Like tournament that was voiced by Bob Lee? Here was the Lou Holtz submission.
Lou Holtz looks like a train conductor.
That's it.
Very efficient. We wrote them more efficiently back in the day. Yes, that's absolutely true. You can imagine him wearing that tiny hat and telling everybody that that they're headed to the next stop, but no one understands what he's saying over the tinny train speakers.
Well, I don't get a brain man cold.
The straight talk coming out of football, a high-ranking executive saying the NFL is laser-focused, quote, laser-focused on Super Bowl 55 being on as scheduled. I love that. I love that. What do you think he means by that? How the hell can you be laser-focused on anything? What are you talking about? Like schedules? The last thing you could be focused on right now in terms of laser focus is schedule.
The only sport that has remained laser focused, has not wavered, has gone and moved forward with everything but its preseason that we dread anyway, is the NFL. I mean, they are undeterred, and I feel like they're even more empowered now with college football perhaps collapsing, at least for this season, where they can put games on Saturday, Thursday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I mean, the world is the NFL's oyster right now. How about that? I mean, it's crazy.
And now comes early word that the NFL might consider moving the draft in Cleveland a couple of weeks to possibly accommodate for a spring season. And I don't know about you guys, but a spring season, it kind of even feels more unhealthy than a fall season. You might be requiring players to go through 30 football games in a calendar year.
Crazy.
Help me understand something, Stu Gatz, because I am of the belief that you are forever leaning on cliches without necessarily knowing anything about what you're saying.
Yeah.
Do you have any earthly idea, because I don't, here, why the world would be anyone's oyster? Like, do you have, I know what that expression is meant to mean, but I don't understand why an oyster is so flexible that that's what I would want as my world. Is it because it's enclosed? Like, I really don't understand the genesis of that phrase.
Aren't there pearls in oysters?
Yeah, they're supposed to be, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. Like, you open up an oyster, you get the pearl, you get all that aphrodisiac meat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of things you could do with an oyster, Dan. You know?
It's a very sensual food.
I don't feel like there's a whole lot of aphrodisiac meat. And I would also please caution you just in general on using the phrase aphrodisiac meat.
It's ooey gooey.
I long for the days of Brad Doherty as well, Mike. Stugatz, can you please tell me, as it relates to Ramona Shelburne, because somebody is very mad, and you know I'm always laughing at how mad people get about silly, stupid sports things, but a tweeter is mad at Ramona Shelburne because she was on television, and she does an exceptional job with the reporting around that sport. She is one of our finest reporters in any sport. But she was on television, and this tweeter says, "This is unacceptable. Ramona Shelburne just got on TV and admitted that she ignored Giannis leading LeBron in almost every stat and voted LeBron for MVP because she's, quote, more of a narrative-based voter." And then this is where the outrage really escalates as this tweeter, loses all respect for Ramona Shelburne instead of just 98%, but all respect.
Wow.
"She should not have a say in any NBA award ever again." So first off, my question to you is, because I actually agree with the idea of you shouldn't be a narrative-based voter, but the more interesting question to me is, why do people get so upset about things like that, that Ramona Shelburne has a vote and that she votes differently than you do? There are a whole lot of people in November who are going to vote differently than you do. Like, that's sort of the way – in fact – Ramona Shelburne is going anti-science there, anti-analytic. She is saying, I like my stories. I don't care necessarily that Giannis has had a better and more valuable year.
She's also one of the people that put out the narrative. However, it's unfair to just say Ramona says she's a narrative-based voter, because she did say that, but then she explained the narrative. If in a vacuum, I tell you a player, a really good player, was hurt a lot last season, and because of his absence, that team flat out missed the playoffs. Then
16 games of his absence and his return, he wasn't quite himself, but it was 16 games of absence that tanked their season.
Then gets healthy, obviously adds a piece, which is important too, but is still arguably the best player on the best team in the Western Conference all of a sudden, year over year. And the largest factor outside of the big acquisition is his health. I mean, that's a pretty, like, strong case for MVP. I understand it's narrative-based, but it's an argument we hear all the time. Where would this team be without this player?
Well, you've seen Giannis not playing recently and what it does to the Bucks whenever he doesn't play.
Yeah, losing up to the Nets.
They lose to the Raptors by 20 when he doesn't play. I mean, we know how important that dude is. Chris, you have found, have you located The World Is My Oyster? Can you give us any more information on this phrase? Stugatz, just what is your theory on you said it. You said the world is their oyster. What is your theory on what it is that's coming out of your mouth and what it means?
I think that the possibilities are limitless when you open up an oyster, that there might be a pearl in there. There might just be a delightful oyster in there. There might be nothing in there, because occasionally you open up an oyster shell and there's a dud and you are left with nothing. And so I think the possibilities are limitless when you're opening up an oyster. The world could be your oyster. It also could be a complete disappointment. I mean, you never know.
It doesn't sound in any way limitless. You gave us three options, and one of us is calling the thing inside an oyster, as opposed to aphrodisiac meat.
Yeah, right. I like his way better.
Well, what is the meat called inside an oyster? It's probably a name.
It's probably oyster, now that I think about it.
Yeah. Is it? Yeah, okay. Yeah. So the oyster inside of... So was Stugatz right? Stugatz is right that the meat is called an oyster inside of an oyster. I thought the whole thing was an oyster. Put it on the poll,
it's certainly not called aphrodisiac meat. I think we can all agree. Oyster meat.
Chris, what are the origins? What is the history of the world is your oyster?
Well, the phrase comes from a William Shakespeare play, which makes me never want to say the phrase again, because that's just, you know, oh, Shakespeare, please. It comes from The Merry Wives of Windsor. I can do anything I want to do and go anywhere I want to go. The world is my oyster.
Did you put an N in the word Windsor? Did you just, for no reason whatsoever, place an N in the word Windsor?
Well, I'm sorry, Dan. It's spelled with an N. W-I-N-D-S-O-R.
I felt like you mispronounced Windsor, didn't you?
I probably did, but I'm a human, Dan. Sometimes I make mistakes.
But you made it Windsnore. Like, you put two N's in Windsor.
So it's because I don't regularly say that word. Who does?
So the oyster in its shell and the meat inside, you call that whole thing and possibly nothing inside or possibly a pearl, the limitless three options that you guys gave us. That whole thing is called an oyster. The meat specifically is called oyster meat.
Nice. All right. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Not aphrodisiac meat, though.
Coming back around to aphrodisiac meat.
That's a cool story, and I was actually going to talk about it here, Stugatz, because put it on the poll, Tony, at Lebatard Show. Do you like the idea of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air being a drama? Because Will Smith loved the idea based on that four-minute viral video that a lot of people enjoyed. And it's a cool story because a fan of the show did it, and then next thing they know, they're looking up and Will Smith is producing the project with his production company. And for many years here, Stugatz, we have wondered. We root for Will Smith. We like Will Smith. Will Smith was so popular in the movies, at least in part because he was so likable. His performance as Ali was an amazing bit of acting. He's an enormously talented human being who was dominating music and movies at a very young age. And over the last 10 to 15 years, a lot of bad movie choices. His career, now he's going back to some of the franchise hits like Bad Boys, The Places. Yep. It's very hard to age in creativity. It is very hard to continue to reinvent yourself and age gracefully. And so he's going to an old standard. I remember Bill Simmons a long time ago, Stugatz, wrote a great article back at Grantland about like the Will Smith formula to how it is you become a movie star, the choices that you make. Because at the time he was making the right ones with creatures and things in the movies that you need to sustain yourself. But now he's going back to his hits. He's tried this orc thing with Netflix. Uh-oh, Mike Ryan is pumping a fist right there. Because there's been a hockey goal and he's able to gamble during the show all of a sudden for entertainment purposes only.
A little brunch time betting. That's right, fellas. Dudes and dudettes, grab your breakfast burritos. We got 11 a.m. Eastern time hockey. Way too early, dude. Way too early.
But a playoff game, an 11 a.m. hockey playoff game, because there was a 5-overtime game yesterday that pushed this game to 11 o'clock this morning, and we are feeling very good about the Carolina Hurricanes in the first period and for the game, and they're playing without Mr. Game 7, Justin Williams, but luckily, Dano, it's a game one.
It's a game one. You don't need him. You literally don't need Mr. Game 7 for 6 of the games in this series. And Tuukka Rask, you got to stop that. Tuukka Rask took a seat, more like it, dude.
All right, so if you don't understand what's happening right now, I do not blame you.
Why
because
why would you understand? I'm a surfer hockey fan standing way far from the microphone, and I'm absolutely loving the Stanley Cup playoffs, dude. What is better than 5 overtimes between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Columbus Blue Jackets, live from Toronto, postponing the Carolina Hurricanes and Boston Bruins, also from Toronto? I know this is weird, dudes, but I am loving it, and that ice is looking like a clean sheet.
How about this? They get a big goal, Carolina does, from Joel Edmondson, Mr. Game 1. I mean, it was great.
That was a clean sheet that surfer guy far away from the microphone said. And when I said I was going to explain to the audience what was happening now, I didn't actually want to elaborate on surfer character who stands far away from the mic analyzing hockey. I just wanted to break down for the audience what hockey was, because if you watch ESPN, you might not know.
Oh, it's a damn shame. Remember Barry Melrose and the NHL hockey theme? My God, what a time, dude. But now my mouth is salivating as if I'm about to take a bite from a fresh ceviche, dude. What do you call that thing when your jaw knows that it's about to eat something sour? It blows my mind every time. I haven't eaten in a long time, and my mouth is just like, brace for it, dude. It's going to be tart.
So you guys, this is the height of degeneracy, I would say, and the height of
winning money.
It kind of hurts, but the relief is like, man, I'm glad. Everybody chill out, dude. I'm glad we all collectively made it through this whole thing, body, because I'm about to bite into this ceviche, and my body is obviously preparing me for how tart. But you never know how tart, dude. That's the most beautiful thing about a nice ceviche, bro. Peruvian South, you know.
I'm not even sure how popular tart is as a sort of...
Oh, it's the ultimate flavor profile, dude. You ever get a nice ceviche and a tostone? Oh!
Oh, tart and salt.
Oh, you get tart. It's a textural delight, dude. It really is. You get the crunch with the soggy whitefish. Man. Love a good ceviche.
Put it on the poll, please, Tony. Is ceviche with un tostón a textural delight? Yes or no? Because I'm guessing does the audience even know what a tostón is, Mike? I know South Florida does, but
tostone,
is that...
man, you mash up a banana, you fry that some.
Thank you. I was talking to Mike, though. I wasn't talking to the...
He's got to stay in character till the period's over there.
All right, so...
Because your boy has Hurricanes, Moneyline, 1P. 1P, waiting on this 1P bet to come through.
I am a little alarmed, okay, at 11:30 playoff hockey. The reasons, again, if you did not catch it, is because there was a 5-overtime game last night in which I think Tampa withstood 85 shots. Is that the number?
It's the Blue Jackets, dude. The Blue Jackets withstood it. And I'm just learning about this Blue Jackets goalie, but dude can save the college football season. He's incredible, dude.
Okay, so basically a game went so long last night that they simply had to cancel the night playoff game between Boston and Carolina. And so we have the delight of watching that game right now live. Again, the NHL, you might not have heard, has successfully and somehow quietly created a bubble as well. But we have not noticed it quite as much because people ignore playoff hockey, even though playoff hockey is the single most amazing thing anywhere in sports.
What? Let's go. My private jet isn't going to fuel itself.
Does ESPN presently have anyone other than Steve Levy and Barry Melrose talking about hockey? Do we have just two guys, or do we have a third guy somewhere, or a third person somewhere that's breaking down hockey on our network that doesn't have TV rights to
it's
hockey?
It's a shame, dude. You should send Rinaldi up to the Canadian bubble, bro, the Cubble. He could tell so many great stories. I mean, just think about talking about the Arizona Coyotes. So many storylines there with the Yotes.
So I've told you here for a while now that everything happening in this country, never mind sports, and sports is the funhouse mirror where society goes to check its reflection, but everything happening in our streets, in our country, leads to sort of a layer of film on me that feels like low-level depression or anxiety that is just around all the time. And it's frustrating to me that on complicated matters like race, we can't come to any kinds of, you know, agreements on anything these days as everyone fights. And we can't even agree on masks. Masks become about freedom fighting. Masks become about not, hey, you know, don't be a danger to grandma. It becomes about, no, I need to have American freedoms. Don't impinge my American freedoms. I have to have the freedom to kill your grandmother. And so it's just something that is bothersome. It's daily. it's inescapable. And as we're in the middle of it, I think we can all agree, even as we can't agree on anything, that it's not like America has behaved in a fashion that deserves sports to be back, right? We have NBA money, so we just throw a bunch of money at that. We build a bubble. We literally do it in Disney World. We make it the happiest place on earth because we've got a lot of money. And so we get basketball. But what is happening right now, Stugatz, in college football is fascinating for a number of different reasons. Yesterday we covered, like, who the hell's in charge? The answer is nobody. Like, Mark Emmert, like, run him out, man. Take his $4 million and spend it on something else. Like, he's got no control over it. He's not running anything except being the mall cop on when guys take $100 from a booster.
Yeah, it feels like he has no say. He's not in on any of these decisions. You have five separate Power Five conferences with five separate doctors making decisions for each conference. I mean, it's an absolute mess. Why is it one doctor out here determining whether or not it's safe or not?
Well,
I mean,
but Scott, so there are a number of things about this that are fascinating, and not just because we've arrived in a place where people are legitimately making the argument that football is now safer than just walking around, that putting them in a lack of free environment around Brian Kelly and Nick Saban, just putting them in an area where they don't have any power or freedom, and so the coach will make sure they don't get sick because he will lord over them to make sure that they don't get sick. The SEC and ACC needed another conference. They needed somebody else to say yes to. We don't care necessarily what the Pac-12's doctors and lawyers are saying. We don't care what the Big Ten's doctors and lawyers are saying. Because it's not just doctors you're talking about here, Stugatz. It's lawyers.
Yeah.
It's right. Those are the ones making the decisions as we sit here and look around and say, who the hell is in charge right now? So the Big 12 is saying, we will play with the SEC and ACC. We will help be the third conference that you need to make this feel like some semblance of mutated, greedy business sports that you need for now. And that can change if an outbreak happens. And that can change because of the optics of, you know, affecting the human hearts of young people in the name of pursuing unpaid labor to give you television dollars. The whole thing is pretty gross. If you think college football dehumanizes the body under normal circumstances, it's even worse now. The saving grace the Big 12 has is that all of their defenses are socially distant from everybody all the time, so nobody is actually going to get sick from anyone on a Big 12 defense. So that part is safe.
Oh, wow.
But what do you make of everything happening right now, Stugatz, with the ACC and SEC lined up politically with their regions? DeSantis, the head of Florida's mutated, embarrassing political system, is sitting here saying, we'll take players from everywhere. He's trying to create just one giant playoff of mercenaries that can, Stugatz, given what they do to the bodies in that sport, we could literally make it something that is called the Expendables. All of you are expendable. If you do not play for our football team or if there's a COVID outbreak, we're going to treat it exactly the same way that baseball has treated it. We're just going to find some student who would have been in the cafeteria who's studying economics, and we're going to make him our pass-rushing defensive end.
Just keep it moving. As long as we get the games in, as long as we have a winner, as long as they're wearing helmets and jerseys that we're familiar with, just give us a winner. We don't care who the quarterback is. We don't care how he got to a certain school. We don't care if he's a student or he's actually Justin Fields. But that's sports. Sports are greedy. Business is greedy. So we're starting to see it, and hopefully the college kids are starting to see just how valuable they are, and hopefully they'll do something moving forward here because they have a lot of value. They've never been worth more.
About 20 minutes ago, the Big 12 released their football schedule.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
This is insane. Who's in charge? Why do you have rogue conferences doing different things are half of the big schools going to be playing during the fall and the other half during the spring? There's all sorts of consequences like this. I'm interested to know if any of these individual conferences have act of God language. Maybe they can do what Wimbledon did and cash in an insurance policy. But on what grounds if other conferences are playing? All of this is so interesting. And the governing body is dead silent.
I know, and it's confusing to the kids, and that's a very good question, a fair question. What happens if these three Power Five conferences play in the fall as scheduled, and then you have two power conferences wanting to play in the spring? Are they still going to play in the spring? It seems absurd. They need another conference, don't they?
And what happens with Nebraska? Why is Scott Frost in such a rush to get fired?
It is. It, like Scott Frost, the sheen, he's trying to get that. What? I'll tell you what Scott Frost is trying to do. This dude went from having an unbeaten team at Central Florida to being the hottest candidate across college sports. He gets to Nebraska. They stink up and down. He wants to get the smell off of last night off of him. Like, he is sitting in his shower, just sitting there sobbing, having looking not unlike the guy who stood in Urban Meyer's mirror, just sobbing because of what happened to his entire reputation at Nebraska last year. He'll play anybody to fix it.
But he's a better chance of doing that if it's just the Big Ten and the Pac-12.
And somebody from the economics class.